Let's stand together. We thank you, Lord, for this morning, for summertime. Thank you for all the wind we had. Thank you for the change in climate. Help us, Lord, as we go through this season physically here to just understand each day and appreciate each day and enjoy each day. And at the same time, Lord, help us to be effective for you, to tell people of you, to show your love to people through our work, through our associations, through our social contacts. Help us, Lord, to somehow shine the light and the salvation of Jesus to people around us. I pray that every person in here would be blessed this morning and that they would be encouraged about who you are as the Son of God. Amen. Good. Just take a seat real quick. I'm going to continue the series on what we believe. I'm in part two of Jesus. Last week I spoke on what Jesus taught about the Father, but this gets more into the meat of what the teaching of Jesus is, and what I mean by teaching, what the Bible says he is, who he is, what he is. It's a very important doctrine for you to settle in your heart, because if you don't understand the person of Jesus correctly, you'll miss salvation. You'll miss it. You cannot be incorrect about Jesus. You have to be correct about him, okay? When Christians say that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, the average Christian out there may be meaning something else. There was an article sent to me by someone from the church, and he says this, "Is Jesus God? If you answer a quick, firm yes, read on. Recent polls show a whopping 96% of Americans believe in God, quote unquote. But obviously, considering the state of American Christianity, something isn't adding up. Dare we assume that 96% of Americans believe in the Christian God? Do they believe in a different God when we confess faith?" So Jesus is the Son of God, we say. And even in Christian churches, we say we believe in Jesus, the Son of God. And when Americans say they believe in God, they are saying they believe and acknowledge there's some being higher than them. However, there's a real confusion as to Jesus. It's as if Jesus is something less than God, that Jesus is something that is not as on the same par with God. And we need to try to clarify this from the pulpits, because if we don't, people will be believing all kinds of superstitious things about the person of Jesus Christ. You need to understand it well. The early church had to defend the person of Jesus theologically so that the world would understand what is it that Christians believe. Do they believe in three gods, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Do they believe in one God? What do you mean one God, three persons? What is this, that Jesus is divinity? How is that? And in today's world, divinity, well, there's a lot of New Age teachers that are teaching that everybody's divine and running around like little gods, which is basically the temptation given to mankind in Genesis. You're not a god. You're a human being. You were created at a certain point in time. You're finite, but there is a being who is infinite. There's only one being who has infinity attached to his being, and that's God. There is no other being that has infinity and eternity in his own essence. We don't. We can't say, oh, yeah, I existed before time and space. You can't say that honestly. You could maybe, if you were Shirley MacLaine on, you know, drinking, you know, tumblers full of whiskey, say that you were a caveman back in the old days. That's what she maintains, that she was in another life a caveman. That's not what Christianity is teaching. We don't teach reincarnation or that you've come back as another person and that you were somebody else before. That is not Christianity. Okay, so let's try to understand what the Bible says. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Now that's a significant statement. The Son claims to be the I am. And I put in parentheses here, the self-existent one. Self-existence is something that only God has. There's no other being that has self-existence. You and I, as I mentioned earlier, came into existence at a point in time. We cannot claim honestly with integrity, oh yeah, I existed before. No, you cannot. Yeah, but what about deja vu? Deja vu, I remember that this thing happened to me. Well, you know, what's deja vu? I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, even if it's true that you had an experience that you're living through, all of a sudden you remember that you lived it before, well, you're still you. You're still you. You're not somebody else. Jesus said to them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." They took up stones to cast at him. his detractors, his the leadership of the Jewish religion, which is Judaism, when they heard him say this, they felt that he needed to be executed. And why? Because they understood what he was claiming. So what was Jesus claiming? He was claiming to be the I Am. Now, you say, well, what's that? The I Am term is the term used in Exodus. We'll get there in a minute. Jesus said in another place in John, by the way, John the Apostle in his gospel, the Gospel of John, he writes it a little bit later in church history. The church had been born already. He was an older man. There was attacks coming upon Christianity by rabbis and by from inside and outside, criticizing Christianity for what they believed. So John wanted to clarify very clearly in the Gospel of John that Jesus was more than just a man. That was one of the first questions that had to be answered by the early church. What was Jesus? Was he an angel? Was he created? Was he eternal? Is he really divine? What is he? How could he be man and how could he be God at the same time? I and the Father are one, says Jesus. The Jews picked up stones to stone him. And when it says the Jews, remember John is a Jew and he's writing. He means the leadership of the Jewish people. He means the leadership of the Jewish people. I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? Think of the miracles Jesus had shown and has shown. And if we read the Gospels, they are as if they just happened. To me, when I read them, he resurrected a man dead for 4 days. He resurrected a little girl. He resurrected he basically did everything that supports that he has the kind of power that only God has. In the spirit world, demons obeyed him. He would cast them out. He walked on water, defying the laws of the physical universe. Only God can do that. He opened the eyes of a blind man who was born blind and never had seen before. He gave him brand new eyeballs. He touched a man who had no hand and it grew out as a whole hand. Only God can create something that wasn't there before. All of these things that he did were signs. They were from the Father, he says. For which of these do you stone me? They want to kill him. They want to throw rocks at him and stone him to death. We're not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy. We understand what you're teaching. You, a mere man, are claiming to be God. And Jesus doesn't deny this. He's basically claiming it by word and teaching and by action. Okay? He's supporting it by everything he did and taught. And you have to get this straight. Watch. In Exodus, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. Moses asks him, what's your name? In Egypt, they have a name for every god. What's your name? I am. That means the self-existent one. In Hebrew, the word would be the closest we can get to maybe pronouncing it, and we don't really know because we don't know what ancient Hebrew really sounded like because they didn't have vowels. They only had consonants. But it's YHWH, Yahweh. Yahweh is what we think it is. And the Germans translated it Jehovah, but that's basically the German translation of the Hebrew word Yahweh. So the word is Yahweh, and it means the self-existent one. It's a statement of infinity. It's a statement of there is nothing but me. There's no one but me. It's just me. I am. What God am I? I am. I'm the only God. He says this all over in the Old and New Testament. There is no other God. There is no other being called God. There's just me. The people groups, the culture groups all over the world have created many gods and a plethora of gods. You know what plethora means? A plurality of gods all over. And they say, this is a god, that's a god, you know, the star god, the rain god, the thunder god, Thor, you know, all of that stuff. There's all of these different notions. The Greeks had all kinds of gods. The Romans, they had Zeus, they had Venus, they had Diana, they had Mars. And, you know, we go on and on through every culture, the Aztecs, the Incas, the Mayas, the Germans, the Druids. Go to any culture before Christianity came and they believed in polytheism. That means many, poly is many, theism is God, many gods. Judaism and Christianity holds to one unseen God, one, monotheism, mono. I am has sent me to you. And Jesus is saying back here, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham is written about in the book of Genesis. And Jesus is saying, before Genesis, I am. That's why they wanted to stone him. They knew what he was saying. He claimed to be the I am. He claimed to be the I am on Mount Sinai. Jesus claimed to be I am. That's significant. You need to know this because it's being attacked even inside of Christianity, that Jesus is some lesser God. Not true at all. In Revelation, it says, now John the Apostle was the closest thing to a human friend on earth that Jesus had. He was close. They were best friends, okay? BFF. And but John didn't realize that he really is the best friend forever, and he's your best friend, by the way. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. When John first met him on earth, he came up to Jesus with Andrew, and he says, where are you staying? And Jesus said, come and see. They met him in his humanity. But as they got to know him more and more, they started to ask the question, who is this guy who walks on water, raises people from the dead? Who is he? He's not like any other guy I've met. He's not like any other buddy I had, you know. Can't just have a pack of six cold ones with him and, you know, shoot the breeze. This guy's different. Who is he? This time he sees him in Revelation and he meets him as he really is. When you really finally meet Jesus, when all of you meet Jesus one day, and whether you want to or not, you're going to meet Jesus. You guys know this? You are going to meet Jesus one day, personally, in person, you in your flesh and him in his. And you're going to see him the way he really is. I saw him and I fell at his feet as though dead. He placed his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I'm the first, I'm the last, I'm the living one. I'm going to take you next week when I talk more about the Son of God, that these terms, the first and the last, only God uses them of himself. In the Old Testament, he says it in Isaiah, I am the first, I am the last, there is no other God but me. They are phrases that indicate eternality, that he existed forever, forever and ever before anything has existed. He uses terms that no one else can use. Moses can't use this. Moses can't say, I existed before. Isaiah couldn't say, I existed before. Elijah couldn't say, I existed before. St. Peter couldn't say, he existed before. But Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. That's significant, people. You've got to get Jesus straight in the Bible. When we say we believe in God, yes, Americans, 96% say they believe in God. But when you ask them about Jesus, most Americans say, yeah, I believe in God, I just don't believe in the Jesus stuff. And I will submit to you plainly this. If you say you believe in God and you say at the same time and you hold in your heart, I don't believe in the Jesus stuff, then I will submit to you that you do not believe in the God of the Bible. And you are unsaved. Because if you do not believe in the God that's revealed through Jesus Christ in the Bible, then you don't believe in the God of the Bible. Therefore, you are still in your sins and unsaved. Because there is a God who has revealed himself, and he's not just a higher power. He is the only God, the only power. He's not a higher power. He is the highest and higher power. No one else. Now, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is pre-existent. This doctrine of pre-existence, you learn when you study Christology. Biology is the study of living things. Astronomy, the study of stars. Sociology, the study of social things. Psychology, the study of the human psyche. Christology is the study of Christ. Theology is the study of God. In Christology, you find something called the preexistence of the Son. What is this? That he existed before he was born. You and I cannot maintain this honestly at all, but he can. In his high priestly prayer, right before he was about to give his life on the cross the next morning, he prays this, Father, glorify thou with me, with thine own self, with the glory which I had, with thee before the world was. I love the way the King James says it. That's why I put it there. Glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory I had with thee before the world was. Jesus is claiming. It's a picture. It's a little window into the Son of God and the Father communicating. And what are they saying? What is God saying? He's going to return Jesus Christ to his position, his glory, his pre-existence. Before the world was created, before the universe, before anything was, there was God. Well, what was before God? Nothing. There was just God. It's always been God. The question, what was before God, is a non sequitur. There was no such thing as anything before God. There's only God. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now notice what he just said there. Where was he? Heaven. He came down from heaven. Moses couldn't say that. Abraham couldn't say that. Isaiah couldn't say that. Peter can't say that. No human being can say that. I came down from heaven. If I started telling you, hey, by the way, Grace Church, I came down from heaven and I'm here to tell you something, then you better run out the door or get the guys in the white coats. Tell them to take Jimmy away to Las Vegas, New Mexico, and put him in a white jacket. He is before all things, says Colossians 1:17. He is before all things, he being Jesus. All things being anything. The universe, well, what was before the universe? God. What was before that? God. He's before all things, says the Scriptures. The New Testament teaches that Jesus existed before. This is why he is the Savior, because there is no other human being, no other name given under heaven by which a man must be saved, just his, because he's the only one that is the true Savior. In the discussion with the church in Corinthians, which is in Greece, ancient Greece, Paul the Apostle writes to them and he tells them this: my forefathers, the Jewish people, were wandering in the desert following Moses and the pillar of cloud in the day and the pillar of fire at night when they came out from the Exodus. And they were getting really thirsty one day, and they were about to stone Moses. And Moses goes to God and says, these people are about to stone me. What do I do? He goes, go to the rock and speak to it, and I will give them water. And Moses was really ticked off at the people, and he gets his staff, and he goes, and he says, you people are just so stubborn. And he strikes the rock with his staff. And God says, the water comes out, but then God says to Moses, you're not going to go into the promised land. Because I told you to speak to the rock, not strike it. Because the rock, it says here, they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. And that rock was who? So where was Jesus before he was born? He was in the desert with the Israelites. He existed before all things. He had glory with the Father before the world was. He is pre-existent. This makes Jesus unique. He's not just man. He's more than man. He sustains creation. Physicists tell us that they don't understand exactly what it is that holds molecules and atoms and electrons going around the nucleus. What is it that holds it there? Because they know it's not magnetism. Magnetism doesn't work on such a small scale as an atom. They know it's not atomic force. They know that they can create atomic force by splitting the atom off, the electron off of the atom. They split they take the electrons and they cause it to be split. That's how come we have an atomic bomb invented right here, or should I say further developed and finished here at Los Alamos. By just splitting the smallest thing that we could find, the tremendous power was released. Well, what is it that holds it there? Nobody knows. Nobody has answered that question, because again, it's not electricity, it's not magnetism, it's not nuclear power. What is it? Well, it says in the Scriptures, by him all things consist. The word consist means hold together, stand up in line. They hold together because of him. By him, by who? In Colossians, it's referring to Jesus Christ. By Jesus, all things consist. In Nehemiah, just to go show you that in the Old Testament, this was an understanding of the Jewish people about this God, this being called God. It says this: thou art the Lord, thou alone. There's no other God, there's one God, unseen. Thou hast made heaven and the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, that is to say, all of the spiritual beings too. The earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them. Thou preservest all of them. That is the word you sustain. Everything consists because you do it. And the host of the heavens worship thee. If God were to let go, everything would just cease to exist if God did that. And it says in the Scriptures, in Peter, it says that the current universe will roll up like an old garment and be tossed away, and we'll have new heaven and new earth. One day he will let go of it all, and there will be a destruction of what the current creation is, all that is seen and unseen, and we're going to have a new creation, and that's where we're going if you're saved. Now, the Son created all things. We know that God, the Bible says that God created, Genesis 1, right? In the beginning, God created, right? In the beginning, God, it says, created. In the beginning, the Spirit of God hovered over the deep. And God said. So there we see the Father, the Son, and the Spirit working as the one God in Trinity together. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. In the beginning, God. And the Spirit of God hovered over the water. And God spoke. And Jesus is called the Word of God. At the baptism of Jesus, the Father said, this is my Son, listen to him. And the Spirit came down on the Son. So we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Again, one God working in Trinity all the time. Through him all things were made, said John in John 1:3. Through Jesus all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In John 1:10, the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. Nothing new, right? We live in an age where we have discovered phenomenal things, laws that govern the physical universe. Physicists and astrophysicists looking into these things and saying, look at this, E=mc² and all of this stuff that we have discovered. It's like, wow, this is amazing. Oh, it just happened. You would think that with all of that tremendous knowledge that human beings would fall on their faces and say, wow, you're something else. Well, whoever and whatever you are, you're really something. Because the stuff that you have done is amazing. We're just guys looking at what is made. Can you imagine looking at the maker of all that is made? If what is made is fantastic and magnificent and beyond description and almost beyond understanding, then what about the one who made all that has been made? By him all things are created. Things that are in heaven or in earth, visible and invisible. Some of the astronomers have told us that there's something out there that we now call black matter. Have you ever heard of that one? You guys heard of this black matter thing? In other words, the space between the stars, that there's something there, but they don't know what it is. It's called black matter. Well, it's visible and invisible. As a matter of fact, when this was written, we didn't know half of the stuff that we now know. Light, for example. You and I see. Do you know why we see? God created an eye and gave us an eye. And it receives a certain part of the spectrum of light. We're able, except for me, I'm colorblind. What's the color code, Mel? It's not LGBT. What is it? It's the color code, you guys, on the rainbow? In the rainbow? The RGBT? In the rainbow? Oh, say it again. Roy G. Biv, which means red, red, green, orange, yellow, violet. Anyway, I can only see blue and yellow just so that you know in the rainbow. That's all I can see, so I don't have to get confused. But I'm actually good at seeing snakes in the grass, so I'll tell you that. Their camo doesn't work for me. Their camouflage doesn't work for me. I see them. It's really funny because I'm colorblind. So come to me if you want to see a snake in the grass. Ask my mom. Ask my mom sitting right there. One time my aunt was visiting, and I go, there's a snake right there. Where? Right there. It was a rattlesnake right in front. And same thing I did with my dad. He says, I'm colorblind. Now, I'm not saying that, but what I'm trying to tell you is the spectrum of light is allowed by God to be seen by the eye he gave you, but we now know that the spectrum of light goes all the way out to infinity, to X-rays, to ultraviolet, to radio waves, to gamma waves, to microwaves. All of these things are in the spectrum of light. We have discovered all these amazing things. We should just be awed by this God. By him all things were created, things that are in heaven, things that are in earth, visible and invisible. When they wrote that, they didn't know the invisible part. We now know a lot of it, but not all of it. Then he goes into the beyond the physical. He says, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. He's talking about spiritual and political powers. All things were created by him and for him. So the Bible says that the Son created all things that are seen and unseen. That means that the Son is not just a man. Because I can't say that of me. I can't say that of Moses. I can't even say Abraham created all things, can I? No, because I would be blasphemous. But the Son, the Bible says that the Son of God created all things. That's amazing. In these last days, it says in Hebrews. What last days? Hebrews was written almost 2,000 years ago. What do you mean a last day? Well, if you've read the Bible at all, you should know that the Bible says, to God a day is like a 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. So to God, 2,000 years is 2 days. 2 days ago, God said, in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe, the one spoken sentence. He made all things through the Son. Now look what it says in Hebrews 1:10. He, God, I put in parentheses, God says about the Son, Jesus, he says, in the beginning, O Lord, so God calls Jesus Lord. You laid the foundations of the earth. So God acknowledges that Jesus is creator. You laid the foundations of the earth and the heavens are the work of your hands. You mean Jesus created everything? I think the Bible's trying to tell us that Jesus, the Son, created all things. You guys get this? You need to know this. Otherwise, you'll fall victim to the false teaching that Jesus is a lesser God than the Father. Not true. One God. equal three persons. Now, the Son is God incarnate. In Spanish, we say carne, which means meat. He was encarnado, means he was made flesh. He was made human. He took on a human physical body. God, the Son, was made human. He is incarnate. He is God encarnado, God made flesh. Colossians 1:15, the first part of the verse. The Son is the image of the invisible God. In the Ten Commandments, God says, thou shalt make unto thyself no image of anything in heaven, that's God or angels, anything on earth, that's human, plant life, animal life, insect life, or fish, or anything like that, or anything under the earth, that's demonic. You're not to make an image of anything to bow down or to worship it, is what he says. Not that you can't make art, you can make art, but to bow down and worship it as God. He makes fun of it in Isaiah. He says, a man takes a tree out in the forest, he cuts it down, he laughs at this, God does, in the book of Isaiah. And he cuts half of it and starts a fire and cooks his food on it. And in the other half, he carves it into a god. It can't see or hear or smell or taste. And he bows down and he worships it. It doesn't occur to his mind, God saying this in Isaiah the prophet, that from the same tree that I just cooked my burrito on and tacos, maybe they ate something else, you know, lamb. I don't know what they ate. Anyway, lamb tacos, okay. And at that same piece of wood, I make a little thing and I call it my God. And God laughs at it. How can you make an image, he goes, of anything and worship it? But God makes an image. And he makes an image of himself, but the image he makes of himself is living, breathing, teaching Jesus, the Son of God, incarnate. He is the human face of God so that you and I can know God. The Bible says in John 1 that he revealed the glory of God to us. What do we see when we see Jesus Christ? We see the nature of God, humble, loving, kind, forgiving, merciful, compassionate. That's what we see. When we see Jesus, we see God. And when we see God, we see Jesus. It pleased the Father that in him, the Son, should all his fullness dwell. The fullness of God, that means that Jesus isn't an angel that he says, okay, I'll let you be God for a little while. Not that at all. He is all that God is what the Bible is saying. Jesus is all that God the Father is. He's showing us who he is through the Son. The Son is, now we because of our culture, we think of a father and a son here on earth. I have three sons and three daughters. None of them are me. They're offspring from me and my wife, but they are individuals separate from us, and they are their own people. And they have definitely put down the stamp and say, we're our own, don't tell us anything. Anyway, that happens. You got kids, when they're little, they're really cute. They follow you, do everything you say. The older they get, they just do their own thing because they want to be independent. But the Son is not, it's not the same here when we're talking about the Son of God. One, in essence, with the Father. The exact representation of his being, it says here, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of the being that we call God. So if you want to know God, you must know Jesus. This is why Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, no human being, man or woman and child can get to know God except through the Son, Jesus Christ. This is Christianity 101, okay? I'm teaching you a very fundamental, foundational doctrine of Christianity. Yet the church, in America at least, I don't know about around the world, has begun to doubt the very personhood of Jesus Christ. Oh, I believe in God, I don't believe in Jesus. Then you don't believe in God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. John the Apostle, defending the position or the person of Jesus, he says this in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Jehovah's Witnesses have added this. They decapitalized W and they put A, God. The Word was A, little G-O-D. Instead of the Word was theos. In Greek it says this, in the beginning was the Logos, that's Word, and the Logos was theos. Theos is the Greek word for God. It doesn't say A, little God. He was and is God. And then he goes on to 1:14 and he says, the Word, the Logos, the spoken Word of God, Jesus, became flesh and he dwelt amongst us and we beheld his glory. Jesus is God incarnate. When we speak of Jesus, we're speaking of God. He is God in the flesh. and he is to be worshipped. Now, when we sing praise songs, haven't you noticed that the praise songs are directed at Jesus? Wouldn't it be weird if we were singing praise songs to Billy Graham or to Abraham or to Moses? That would be kind of weird, wouldn't it? Some cultures do that. They worship their dead ancestors. It's incorrect because there's only one being that is to be worshipped. Remember when Lucifer tempted Jesus, which is a really weird thing? He tells Jesus, I'll give you the crown and the glory and the throne of this world. Just worship me. He wanted God to worship him, knowing full well that God is the only one that should be worshipped. Lucifer is sick in his head, and he wants you and I to worship anything else or anyone else but the one true God. But God the Son is revealing to us the nature of this God that we should worship. He's loving, he's kind, he's your best friend, he's your ally, he's not against you. Worship him, fall in front of him, love him, pour yourself out to him, you'll never regret it. When God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. Now, this would be inconsistent if Jesus wasn't divine. If Jesus wasn't God, then God wouldn't be able to command other beings to worship a being that's not God, because God has said this of himself in the Old Testament. I am God, there is no other, and I will share my glory with no one else. So who is he then? One God in three persons. Jesus met them. Greetings. This is the women who went to the tomb. They took their spices, they did their funeral thing, they wanted to go finish the funeral thing with Jesus, and the next day they went over there and they found the tomb open, and he wasn't there, and two angels told him, he's not here, he's gone ahead of you, go tell his disciples that he's alive. So they're running back to tell the disciples, and they bump right into Jesus, resurrected. And he says, hey, what's up? Greetings. And they came to him, and it says this, they clasped his feet, they fell down on his feet, and they worshipped him. If he was not God, he would have by rights have said what the angel told John in Revelation, I'm not God, don't worship me. But he received this worship. The 11 disciples went to Galilee after the resurrection to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Maybe you're in that camp of the doubters about Jesus. That's okay. I think what you have to do is pray. God, could you show me? Because I remember when I was a brand new Christian, I was doubting Jesus as person, Jesus as God, because I had been exposed to Jehovah's Witnesses who were attacking that. And then I read in the scriptures as I was praying and reading the scriptures where Jesus appears to Thomas. And Thomas, a Jew, when he sees Jesus resurrected and Jesus says, put your finger in here and your hand in my side, what does Thomas say? My Lord, my God. Why does he say that? He suddenly realizes who this is. And you need to come to this realization. Who is he? He is your Lord. He is your God. He is your Savior. He gave his life for you. He loves you. That's who he is. He is to be worshipped. Only God is to be worshipped. The Son originates eternal life. A lot of us are in life. I just had a friend visiting one of the missionaries we support. He's now 80 years old today. Our life goes by like a flash. The Bible says, like a vapor, we appear and we're gone. We're like a flower, we bloom and we're gone. But we need something more than just this small little existence that we call earthly life. We need eternal life. And the Son originates eternal life. You need the Son of God for eternal life. Because in the time that you get, if it's even 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, whatever it is God gives you, it's still not enough life, is it? It's never enough. I want to keep living. In him was life, and that life is the light of men. He originates eternal life. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to you for this testimony to the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David, the bright, the morning star, the spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, are you thirsty for life? Do you really want life? Then come. Come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. You can't pay for it. You can't do good works for it. You just have to say, Lord, I need your life, like the thief on the cross. I'm dying here, Lord. I'm dying. I need you. You'll be with me tonight. He just needs to hear that from you, from your heart, that you need him, you want him. And he'll come into your life and begins the process of giving you a life that will never end. Let's stand together. And I want you to read this with me. This is a statement by the Apostle Paul, one of the clearer statements in Scriptures that address what we call the divinity of Jesus Christ. And here's one. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. You see that? God was manifest in the flesh. Now watch. We're going to read this because as we go through what we should believe, I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, and this was often repeated. This is the Nicene Creed. What's Nicene Creed? It was all of the church fathers in the beginning after the great persecutions had finished. They brought together all of the leadership of the church, and they said, "What we need to put down on paper what we believe as Christians." And they came up with this. It's called the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. Nicene was a little town in Europe where Constantine the Great gathered together the church fathers, and they met. And they came up with this statement that's pretty comprehensive. Let's read. "We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into the heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen." I don't think they left anything out, right? When the word Holy Catholic Church, it doesn't mean the Roman Catholic Church or the Russian Orthodox Catholic Church or the Greek Orthodox Catholic Church. The word Catholic means universal. That means a born-again Christian in China is in the body of Christ as a born-again Christian in Santa Fe is the Holy Catholic Church. And God knows them. He knows every true born-again believer all around the world. And it's one church. Oh, why are there so many denominations? Because he needs all kinds of churches to reach all kinds of people. He needs a Chinese church to reach Chinese people. He needs a church where people roll around on the ground and cry and stuff because some people need that. He needs a church like this church because it's, you know, biblically oriented because some people need to have Bible, Bible, Bible. He needs all kinds of churches to reach all kinds of different people. It doesn't mean that there's all kinds of churches. It's one church reaching all kinds of people. Thank you, Lord, so much for who you are and what you are. You're our Lord, our Savior, our God. We fall down before you and we worship you in awe, for you have given your life for us. And now we have a relationship to you that will never, ever end. Amen.